ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The Honourable Mike Baird AO joins us on Grandstand Cricket across the country, the chairman of Cricket Australia. Mike, appreciate your time.
Always great to be here.
How about this? Day one of the Ashes Test in Perth. The excitement is palpable, as they say in the classics. It certainly feels that way. How are you feeling as the chairman of Cricket Australia on the day of your biggest series starting?
Well, excitement probably doesn't do it. I mean, I think when you're growing up, Christmas Day was it. You know, you just came downstairs with this deep anticipation of, you know, what Santa might have left under the tree. Well, this is even better. I think for any cricket fan across the world, this is the series. I mean, the rich history, almost at 150 years, the many moments that have defined cricket and careers, to have it here in Australia on the back of an incredible series last time, I don't think it gets better than this.
It's not going to be close in terms of record attendance. I was looking through previous numbers here in Perth, and I think 32,500 was the single day record last year against India, and the total test was like 140,000. Feels like that's going to fall probably within 3 days. The take-up has been incredible from a long way out. I'm sure as the chairman of the organisation, you would have had a heap of people saying, can you get me a spare ticket? Is there a chance I can get in? Have you even been surprised at how the take-up's been?
I don't think surprised, but the absolute interest in the game is incredible. And here in Western Australia, we've got to pay tribute to all the stakeholders, to WACA. The media's played an important part, but, you know, in addition, the fans have responded. You know, what we've seen and what we will see is a record attendance for a test here in Perth. People that are coming from all parts of the state and all parts of the world to be here. So it's just an incredibly exciting moment, and I think all of us just can't wait for it to get underway. But, you know, when the atmosphere is there with the crowd, well, you know, that makes it even more special.
Why is Perth the ideal place to start the series?
Well, I mean, it's a great place. I mean, I think that, you know, the West Test has kind of started to develop its own identity. You know, obviously it's been in different places, you know, over the years. But I think what we've seen and what we spoke about is if people sort of come, it starts to create an identity, a must-do place. The government's done an incredible job in terms of activation. So, yeah, for us, we're delighted to be here. And, you know, the government and WACA should be really congratulate for the work they've done. It's an exciting place to start the best series in the world.
We grew up just expecting the series to start in Brisbane as it did for so many years. Should we anticipate that Perth is the on-ramp to every Test series for the foreseeable future?
Well, it's obviously here now, and you know, our interest is to deliver for fans across the country. So, you know, there's obviously in time, you know, discussions that we have to have with government. There's other places keen, you know, the Queensland Premier is delivering an incredible stadium over there. But look, I think for now, what we say is we're just so excited and thrilled at how the West Test has evolved. It's become a really important part of the calendar, and, you know, we look forward to it.
You've answered some questions recently about the coffers after the report, obviously, of $11.3 million loss for the last financial year. Given the fact that India come out and we're always told, yeah, that's a banner series, it's a big money spinner for Cricket Australia, how does Cricket Australia lose $11 million on operating costs in a year where one of their biggest drawing rivals comes to tour?
Yeah, well, it's worth talking about this because it's not... It's not operating losses. I mean, there is continued distributions into the game. And, you know, we think Cricket Australia has an obligation. I mean, it's one thing to talk about the great revenue that's going to come, but we're determined to deliver experiences for our fans. We're determined for the game to grow. And to grow, you have to invest. And, you know, for us, distributing to the states is an important part. Playing our players is an important part. I mean, it's a competitive market. We want our players to be paid well so they continue to play here in all forms. So they're costs, but continuing to invest in the game is a big part of it. So, yes, I mean, last year there was a $20 million improvement, but additional distributions kind of went to the states to continue to grow the game, invest in grassroots, invest in high performance. So it's undoubtedly a balance. The white ball series with India wasn't in the calendar month. It followed after the calendar year. So that's, in terms of the usual cycle, would have come in. But we're very confident. I mean, this year is going to be a record year. There's a chance that we could get close to $600 million in revenue. That would be an historic high. Sponsorships, you would have seen, we've just announced some record sponsorships. So the interest in the game and the financial outlook has never been stronger, and we're very positive of where we're at.
So what does that number have to look like this year to be able to sustain you in the other years of the cycle, knowing that, you know, India doesn't come for white ball games and England come for an Ashes every summer?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no perfect number. Obviously, the more you make, the more that you can grow the game. But, you know, we anticipate, you know, a significant surplus this year. We anticipate significant cash, and that's including record distributions to states and players. So we expect this to be a bumper year that will sustain us for a considerable period. But, you know, we've also said there are challenges long term. You know, the cost of playing the game is increasing. The competition is significant for players. So, you know, we have to balance, but, you know, we're strongly of the position there is a sustainable path forward, and certainly this year will be, you know, a record year for cricket.
Mike Baird, the chairman of Cricket Australia, with us during the lunch break here on day one of the Ashes Test at Perth Stadium on Grandstand Cricket through ABC Sport. Privatisation, for a long time, was a dirty word in Australian sport. We had a couple of failed attempts in their football codes here and there. Where is the process at? We've obviously heard a lot about, you know, the potential sale of the BBL franchises. And we've heard a lot of reporting and speculation, but where is the process at?
Well, the process pleasing is in a really good spot. So that is the state and Cricket Australia looking at both the opportunities and threats. Significant opportunities sit there for the game. I mean, there is investment. Doesn't mean you have to pursue that. But, you know, there are global sports franchises that are interested in investing in cricket. If they do that, they bring expertise in delivering for fans, you know, marketing opportunities, digital opportunities, growing the game. And for us, you know, that's what we want to do, to grow the game, to give opportunities to generations to come. So there's those, but there's also threats. You know, if you look at some of the other leagues, there are franchises that have developed. If you end up with a position that you have leagues, champion leagues, that might not include the BBL because, you know, they're obviously connected in the various franchises, well, that's a loss for us. So, you know, we have to understand that, and the challenge for players, you know, the investment required to deliver a product for fans and to attract the best players in the world, well, that's what we're interested in. How do we get the best players here, put on the best product for our fans across Australia, and, you know, investing or seeking some investment to go alongside that could well be the way. The most important thing is that cricket does that together, and I've been really pleased to see the chairs and the CEOs across Australia kind of really work constructively, tough issues, wrestling with it, and we continue to move forward. We're not in a position we'll think about it forever, but we'll also make sure that everyone has a chance to consider all the facts before we make a final decision. And, you know, we'll do that early in the year.
Is there a chance that the franchises won't necessarily be sold to the highest bidder, but perhaps the right partner for the game? Do you have an option to be able to pick and choose on that front, even if it turns out to be a lower number?
Yeah, and that's the important part. I mean, others have gone before us, and we can learn from that. You know, other sports where it hasn't worked. The ECB, which run a process, and that did work, but there were some learnings from that as well. So for us, what is it we can learn? And certainly, you know, we're not after the top dollar. We're after the right partner with the right investments and the right control that comes back to cricket here in this country, CA in the States, together with benefits for grassroots, benefits for players and benefits for fans. If you do all of that, you end up in a position that it can be compelling, but you have to tick all those boxes, and that's the way we think about it. So, yes, selecting the right partner is an important part. I mean, that's an opportunity for kind of all states as they consider it, and certainly we only want the right partners coming into the game should that take place.
Is there a timeline on this as to when you're going to make a decision whether you go down that privatisation path or not?
Well, there's no explicit timeline. We're working hard. You know, we obviously have an incredible season to get through, so not just the Ashes, but we have you know, the women playing India, and certainly there'll be another test here in Wacker where we're looking forward to them sort of showing us how capable they are. So big summer. So we need to get through the summer, and, you know, obviously we'll work on this during the summer, but yeah, certainly in the first half of next year we should be in a position where it's finalised.
I'm sure you watched or caught parts of the Eden Gardens test match recently in Kolkata, and so much of the talk in the aftermath was about the pitch. We had former players come out and say, oh, it was an awful pitch, and Sourav Ganguly, who's the head of the Bengal Cricket Association, basically said, hey, that's the pitch that India asked for, and India themselves as a team and their coach Gautam Gambhir basically said, hey, we didn't think the pitch was unplayable, we were happy enough with it. Obviously, it feels like there's this bit of push and pull at the moment where Cricket Australia's best chances are seemingly on sort of spiced up wickets, or at least the pitches that we've seen in the past. And yet, from the admin's point of view, you would think surely it's in the best interest that these things go days, that these are 4 or 5 day test matches. Can you settle it for all the sceptics out there as to whether the team themselves or whether you as the admin has any kind of input as to how the pitches are prepared out in the middle?
Well, I can tell you that I think Mitch Stark said that, that there's sometimes a call for a chairman's pitch. I've called for no pitches, just making sure Mitch understands that. And nor is CA. This is up to each state to develop a pitch that is great for cricket. And, you know, from our point of view, I mean, last year at the MCG, day five, seeing that decided was incredibly exciting, but it was day three in Sydney, just as exciting. So we want close matches, we want an opportunity for bat and ball, we want fans to enjoy it, and they are really the only instructions that we give.
Future Tours program ends the end of 2027, and it's a crowded end of the calendar as well. There's World Cups and Banner Series and huge tours of South Africa and India as part of that. What happens from January 1, 2028 onwards? Do you have an inkling as to what that's going to look like, and will it look similar to the Future Tours program of the past?
Well, we're obviously looking at that now, and the new CEO of the ICC, Sanjog, is working through that, and he is taking a very strategic approach, looking at all formats of the game. You know, what's sustainable and long term. Obviously, bilateral series that are essential and critical, you know, remain. I mean, the Ashes is obviously a big part of it. The Border Gavaskar will be part of it, but we also have an obligation to support cricket globally, but. The interesting part of that is, well, how do we make each match that we play relevant, give it context, make it competitive, and make it build to something? You know, that to me is what's missing. You know, there are some matches that it's hard for fans to work out, well, how does this play into anything? You know, is it a World Cup qualification? Is it just a one-on-one? And, you know, we now have Olympics. So T20s are going to kind of build to Olympic qualification. So every single match, you know, is likely to matter once that's finalised. So that's the goal, the opportunity to maintain those marquee series, to enable to contribute, but also to have clarity so fans can understand every single match and what it means and what it builds to.
Yeah. Do you get a chance to put forward what your wishes are on behalf of the organisation?
Yeah, I mean, there's minds greater than mine that work through all of those details. But yeah, I mean, we obviously have a chance as Cricket Australia to participate in those discussions. Yeah, together with Todd as CEO in the discussions he has with that group. So, you know, both of us will be pushing, you know, for great opportunities for Australia.
Two difficult ones to finish. First of all, from a financial point of view, jumping back to that conversation, cutting ties with indoor cricket. How was that received, and why was that a necessary step that the organisation had to make?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. I mean, I played a lot of indoor cricket growing up. Indeed, I won Division 1 mixed with a team, the Batman, Batman's Eagles, I think we were called.
What did you do? All rounder?
Not much. I mean, I tried.
You've got to do everything in indoor cricket. You've got to bowl, you've got to field, you've got to bat.
So it's a lot of fun and yeah, lots of friendships. But you know, like anything, I mean, we've got to look at budgets and opportunities. I mean, as you sort of started the interview, there's, you know, challenge and find it. We can't do everything, and so the question is, how do we best kind of invest and sort of grow the game long term? There's some just tough decisions that we have to make. This is undoubtedly one of them. I'm sure that indoor cricket will continue to thrive, and you know, obviously we hope it is. It's an important part of the ecosystem, but you know, parts of decisions, you know, have consequences at times, and you know, we understand that's tough.
Phil Hughes' tragic passing, obviously a decade ago now, and then the eerily similar scenario involving young Ben Austin recently, which was completely tragic at a net session, got struck and obviously tragically died as a result of that. I'm sure a lot of us in the cricket fraternity who were completely rocked by it, and you sort of think the next step coming out of it, where you think surely that can't be the price of doing business. That some young man goes down to the local nets and all of a sudden he doesn't go home again. How do you as a game be able to tell parents and tell people out there that, hey, that this sport is safe, that that is not going to happen? And how do you remove all risk, I guess, in on that front?
Yeah, look, it's a really tough one. And I, you know, it brought back all types of memories to me. I mean, first and foremost, you start as a father. And, you know, I just can't imagine, you know, that poor family and, you know, how they've had to go through that. I mean, it's something you wish on no one. And, you know, it's so tragic for them and, you know, our heart breaks for them in so many different ways. You know, I was Premier at the time when Phil Hughes was hit. And it was, you know, the day that the clock stood still. I mean, the whole nation was rocked by that, just as they were. You know, only a few weeks ago. So, you know, as we look at that, safety is key. And, you know, the time now is to kind of support the family and the clubs and the community as much as we can. But, you know, for us, we also have to look at that longer term. So are there safety considerations we need to take into account? You know, I think it's impossible to say that it'll always be safe. I mean, there's an element of risk in kind of every sport, but you know, there's an onus on us to look at events like this and see if we can do more. And certainly, I'm sure there'll be some learnings and lessons on that. And, you know, we'll be responding as soon as we can.
Absolutely. And I sort of echo your sentiments there, obviously, on behalf of us at the ABC and the entire cricket fraternity to the Austin family, and well handled in an extremely difficult set of circumstances for the game. Your day as the chairman of Cricket Australia, what does day one of Nash's test match look like? I imagine you'd be getting pulled in every different direction.
Well, you know, as always, it starts with the ABC. we've got to kind of grandstand like it's important. But no, look, it's, you know, you feel like like I felt this morning coming in almost like I used to as a young kid going to sport on a Saturday, just this eager anticipation of what's going to unfold. You know, it's a big day. We've obviously got a huge amount of sponsors here. We've got government here. We've got a whole range of stakeholders, and we've got an incredible match to watch. So a combination of all of those, but you know, most important is the celebration of the game.
Plenty to celebrate. Mike, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for being so generous always with us on ABC Sport, and all the very best for the summer ahead.
Thanks so much. Really enjoyed it.